companions, believers, the stories we hear, the timeless message forever clear. The timeless message forever clear. The timeless message. The timeless message.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome back to another splendid episode on the Silsila, the Timeless Message. And mashallah, today we do have a very brilliant, exciting topic of discussion, and that is regarding being the beloved of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in which we are going to be mentioning how to be close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But before that, let us first and foremost mention the excellences of reciting salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And in this regard, our beloved master sallallahu alayhi wasallam has very beautifully mentioned that the closest to me on the day of Qiyamah will be that individual who has recited the most amount of salawat upon me in this world. So let us all collectively, with full of love, send salawat upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, indeed it is through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah ta'ala has blessed you and I with another day, another opportunity to spend by doing those acts which lead to the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And most importantly, always remember to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to show thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to always send an abundance of salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So yes, we are discussing being beloved to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we are going to be mentioning some ways in which a person can become a beloved friend of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And for this, I want to narrate to you a very beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which it's mentioned that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, "Inna aghbata awliya'i 'indi," that indeed the friend of mine most worthy of admiration is he who has these qualities: la mu'minun, a true believer; khafiful hadi, he who has little worldly possessions; dhu hadhin min as-salah, he who offers salah abundantly; ahsana 'ibadata rabbihi, he who worships his rabb in the best manner; wa ata'ahu fi sirri, he who obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in private; وَكَانَ غَامِضًا فِي النَّاسِ لَا يُشَارُ إِلَيْهِ بِالْأَصَابِعِ, and he who remains hidden among people and is not pointed at with fingers, meaning not famous. And the seventh, وَكَانَ رِزْقُهُ كَفَافًا فَصَبَرَ عَلَى ذَلِكَ, he whose sustenance is just enough and who remains patient with it. Subhanallah, subhanallah. What a beautiful hadith, dear viewers of Madani Channel. And this, paid careful attention, this hadith, it mentions seven qualities, right? And an amazing fact is, something so beautiful is that whoever possesses these qualities, what happens to them? They become the beloved friend of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not only are they a friend, but they are the worthiest of admiration of all friends. Allahu Akbar. What a unique honor, dear viewers of Madani Channel. Some deeds, they bring the glad tidings of paradise. Some deeds, they bring the promise of salvation, of freedom from Jahannam. Some deeds, they are said to ensure safe passage over the Sirat. Some actions, some deeds, they bring glad tidings of protection from the punishment of the grave. But what an extraordinary honor it is for the one who possesses these seven qualities. Their status is so high that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has called them what? Has called them a friend worthy of admiration. Subhanallah. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the leader of all of us, right? The leader of the entire ummah. And indeed, he is the leader of all the worlds. We are all, you and I, all of us, we are his humble followers. If he chooses someone as his friend, and this is from his immense grace. Now, think for a moment. What is the status of the one whom the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam declares as his friend? And scholars mention, they say, whoever the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam chooses as his friend, Allah ta'ala makes them his beloved servant. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Don't we want to become beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Of course we do. And inshallah, we are going to be diving into those seven qualities as well. Yes, the hadith, it mentions seven qualities. And by a person adopting them, a person can attain the honor of becoming close and beloved to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now let's go on to the explanation of these seven qualities. Right? Number one was لَمُؤْمِنُن. This was the first quality that has been mentioned, meaning the person must be a believer, right? The person must have iman, must have faith. And by the grace and infinite mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and with all thanks to Him azza wa jal, you and I, we are Muslims. It is such a great favor of this that Allah ta'ala granted us faith. Allah ta'ala granted us iman. And we make this dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala bless us with steadfastness in this. And may we remain believers until our last breath. May our iman never leave us, not even for a fraction of a second. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. One important clarification is that the essence of faith is in the heart's conviction. Alhamdulillah, this means that faith, iman, it is a matter of the heart, and the intellect has no role in these matters. In simple terms, we are believers. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us steadfast in our faith. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. And all the fundamental beliefs of faith, like faith in Allah, faith in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, faith in the Prophets alayhi salatu wa salam, faith in the divine books. These foundational beliefs of faith, it should be accepted with deep love and devotion, right? Don't base your faith on just logic, on logic alone. No, otherwise there is a risk of a person going astray. If one bases their faith on intellect, then intellect can be misled and can falter. So base your faith on love. Yes. On what kind of love? On boundless love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the risk of losing one's iman will be reduced if you do this. Now we see, what kind of faith should a person have? And for this, I want to narrate to you an incident, right? Imam Fakhruddin Razi rahimahullah, he was a great imam, great scholar, highly knowledgeable Islamic scholar, when he was on his deathbed, Shaitan came, appeared before him and said, Razi, prove to me that Allah is one. Imam Razi, rahimahullah, he presented a logical argument. But Shaitan, being extremely deceitful, he twisted his logic. Imam Razi, rahimahullah, then presented a second argument. But Shaitan, he declined this as well. Imam Razi, rahimahullah, gave a third argument. And once again, Shaitan, he raised an objection. And this continued until the Imam Razi, rahimahullah, presented 360 proofs to prove that Allah is one. But Shaitan refused each and every one in his own deceptive way. Allahu Akbar. At that moment, Imam, the Sheikh of Imam Razi, rahimahullah, he was performing wudu at a very far place, at a distant place. And through his spiritual insight, he saw what was happening and called out that, O Razi, why don't you simply say that I believe in Allah's oneness without any proof? As soon as Imam Razi rahimahullah followed the words of his murshid and declared his belief without relying on logical proofs, his soul departed from this world. Allahu Akbar. The series of Madani Channel. What do we understand from this? What do we learn from this? If we base our religion, faith, and beliefs on intellect alone, then there's a danger of being misled and, you know, going astray. That is why we must base our faith, our iman on love. The scholars have said, Alaykum bidini al-ajaiz. Scholars have said that you must have the faith of elderly women. Yes, elderly women, they are very firm in their beliefs. No matter what you say to them, no matter how many arguments from science or philosophy you present, their faith, it remains unshaken. No matter what you may tell them, you want to tell them to change this or to change that, they're not going to listen to you. They're so deeply rooted that they won't even move for anyone. They're firm as a mountain. And scholars have mentioned that this is how a person's faith must be. Subhanallah. I'm sure, you know, all the grannies at home, the nannies, the dadis. And, you know, look at them and you'd see, mashallah, how strong they are. You know, how firm they are, that they don't move for anyone. Like that, we need to be firm in our faith. And this is exactly how we have been taught to hold firm to our beliefs. No, we are not to invent our own beliefs or follow personal opinions. No, our faith, it must be based on what the Holy Quran has taught us. Our faith must be aligned with what is mentioned in the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our faith, it must follow the teachings of the companions alayhim ridwan, the Ahlul Bayt alayhim ridwan, the Awliya Allah, Shaykh Abdul Qadir al-Jilani rahimahullah, Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Radha Khan rahimahullah, and all our pious predecessors rahimahumullah. After accepting these beliefs, we close our eyes to any doubts. If something does not make sense to us, then the fault is in our intellect. Yes, if something is, you know, beyond our understanding, the fault is in our limited perception. Subhanallah, the Quran of our Rabb is true. The words of his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are true. We believe in them without question. So yes, dear viewers of Madani Channel, this is how our iman, this is how our faith must be. Let me tell you an amazing story. Abu Ubaid radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was a sahabi, a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So once he invited Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for a meal, and he prepared goat meat. As the meal began, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Nawilni dhira'aha," that give me its foreleg, meaning the front leg. Give me the front leg. So Abu Ubaid radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he presented a foreleg to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved to eat from this, right? So after some time, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again said, "Nawilni dhira'aha," give me a foreleg. So Abu Ubaid radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he presented the second foreleg. And after a while, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again said, "Nawilni dhira'aha," that give me a foreleg. At this point, Abu Ubaid radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that, "O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a goat has only two forelegs, and I have already given you both of it." And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard this, he replied and he said that, "By he in whose control is my soul, if you had remained silent, then as long as I asked, you would have kept giving and the goat's forelegs would never have finished." Subhanallah, subhanallah. Look at the beautiful way the companion was corrected. A goat only has two forelegs, which was known obviously by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companion radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Yet the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he showed his prophetic words should be relied upon. He highlighted his companion should not focus on, you know, simply what he could see. He explained that if the companion did not say anything, he would have continued asking and more forelegs of the goat would have come forth. Subhanallah, subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all firm faith and unwavering conviction. Ameen, ya Rabbal Alameen. So that was the first point, Reviews of Madani Channel. And the second point is, which among the seven qualities possessed by a friend of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that second quality is khafiful hadi, he who has less worldly possessions. Now this is very, very important. You know, the less attachment one has to worldly possessions, the better. If wealth is acquired through haram means, then it leads to punishment. And if obtained through halal means, then it will still require accountability. So one should not let, you know, the love of this world settle in the heart. Yes. You know, it was mentioned in the previously divine scriptures that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, "O son of Adam, I have created everything for your benefit, but I have created you for myself," meaning for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. "Do not get attached to what was made for you while forgetting the purpose for which you were created." Subhanallah, subhanallah. So we see in the Views of Madani Channel, the world, it exists for us, right? Everything in this world, the animals, the rivers, the ocean, the plants, the forests, the trees, everything exists for you and I, for us. But we aren't for the world. We are to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is our primary purpose in this dunya, in this world. That whilst, you know, being in this world, we shouldn't get so engrossed wherein we forget the purpose for which we were created. That shouldn't be the case. You know, once Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, he was passing by a mountain and he saw an elderly man deeply engaged in ibadah. in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we are asked that, oh man, why have you not built a house for yourself? If you had one, it would protect you from the cold. It would protect you from the heat as well. And this righteous man, he said, oh Ruhullah, I had the honor of serving many, many prophets before you. And they informed me that my lifespan will not exceed 700 years. So, knowing that, you know, my time is short, I couldn't allow myself to become, you know, distracted from ibadah, from worship, by building a house. What a beautiful perspective. That righteous man, he had been granted a lifespan of how many years? Of 700 years. Yet, he still considered it too short and chose not to waste it in worldly affairs. Now compare this to our own lives. How long do we live? How long does a person live today on average? Only 60 to 70 years. Yet, we behave as if we will live in this world forever. We are filled with greed and obsessed with accumulating wealth. We desire luxury homes. We focus on increasing our bank balances. We chase after expensive cars and grand mansions. But do we think and ponder over the hereafter? We forget that, you know, one day we will be put down under the ground into our graves. And we will be resurrected on the day of Qiyamah. Our deeds, they'll be weighed on the scales, and you and I will have to cross over the bridge of Sirat. But we show no concern for these realities. And a question may arise, right? In a person's mind, a question may arise that, you know, such and such scholar or spiritual leader is wealthy and has a lot of possessions. How does that align with this teaching? Now, this is an important clarification. Remember, having wealth is not a problem in itself. What matters are two things. Number one is, one should not have greed for wealth in the heart. But a person should not always desire more, thinking, I want more, I want more, I want more. No, right? That's number one. Number two is, one should not become engrossed in wealth to the point of neglecting the hereafter. Instead, whatever Allah Ta'ala has given to a person should be used in the path of Allah Ta'ala and for the hereafter. If these two conditions are fulfilled, then the increase and decrease of this worldly wealth, it makes no difference to a person. I mean, take the example of Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the third Khalifa of Islam. He was a wealthy Sahabi, a wealthy companion, and he was from among the Ashra Mubashara. This means that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself gave Sayyidina Uthman al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu the glad tidings of Jannah, of paradise in this world. And despite being so wealthy, he was granted Jannah, he was granted paradise. Why? He had all the money he had. He was a multi-millionaire, if you can put it in that way. So it's because being wealthy is not what deprives a person of paradise. This is important. Being wealthy is not what deprives a person of paradise. What destroys a person is greed, love for the world, and being so occupied with wealth that one forgets the hereafter. Now, this is what we must avoid. Otherwise, you want to gain wealth, you want to have more wealth so that you could, you know, spend on your family, so that you could contribute and spend in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, contribute to the masajid, then it is good. There is no issue in that. You can have all the wealth, no problem. But as we've mentioned, that the problem comes in when there is greed in a person, when there's love for the world in a person. And greed, as we know, is something that can destroy a person. Left, right, and center destroys a person. A person becomes blinded by greed. Once that happens, a person doesn't see right or wrong anymore. To him, all that matters is he wants more and he wants more and he just wants to accumulate and hoard. Someone needy comes to him for some help and he's afraid to even take out 1 rand or 10 rand to give to him. He's afraid. Why? Because he thinks that, you know, if I give this, then it's going to reduce my wealth. This is greed and it's very, very dangerous, Yusuf Madani. On the other hand, a person who has all the wealth, not hoarding it, not accumulating it, he is generous with his wealth. He spends wholeheartedly for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That person, he would have barakah in his wealth. He would have an increase in his wealth because he spends for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So remember that being wealthy isn't what deprives a person of paradise, but what destroys a person, it is greed. That was the second point. And the third point we see, the third quality was ذو حظ من الصلاة. He who offers salah abundantly. Now, this means that a true believer not only performs the 5 daily salah, right, but also performs nawafil salah in abundance. For example, such a person, you know, offers salatul tahajjud, ishraq, duha, salatul awwabin, and extra nawafil at night. A person who performs salah excessively is so fortunate, so blessed. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has declared such a person a friend most worthy of admiration. Now what an honor, you know, for those who offer salah abundantly. Allahu Akbar. Imagine you performing salah abundantly, right? Your 5 daily salah are there. And on top of that, you are performing your nawafil salah as well. This makes you close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It makes you, because this is one of the qualities that makes you a beloved friend to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar. And there are so many virtues of nafil salah that we too, we should, you know, develop a deep passion, a deep love for salah, because salah brings coolness to the blessed eyes of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I think, you know, what true lover of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not want to bring comfort to the eyes of his beloved? Which follower would deliberately neglect salah or miss salah on purpose, thereby causing distress to the blessed heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And definitely no sincere lover of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would ever want to do this. So we should establish the habit of performing all 5 daily salah in the masjid with the first takbir in jama'ah. And along with this, we should, you know, also offer nafil salah regularly. In one hadith, it's mentioned that whoever offers fajr salah in congregation makes the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until the sun rises, and then offers 2 rak'at of salatul ishraq, nafil salah, he will receive the reward of a complete hajj and umrah. Subhanallah, subhanallah. How many people go for hajj and umrah every year? So many people go for hajj and umrah, but none can guarantee whether it has been accepted or not. No one can guarantee it. And here, look at the blessed hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As you follow this, and for you is the reward of a complete hajj and umrah. Likewise, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said that whoever consistently performs 2 rak'at of salatul duha, nafil salah, his sins will be forgiven even if they are as much as the foam of the sea. Allahu Akbar. And in another hadith, it's mentioned that whoever offers 6 rak'at of salah after maghrib without saying any bad words in between, these 6 rak'at shall be equivalent to 12 years of worship for him. 6 rak'at of salah after maghrib without saying anything bad to anyone. Subhanallah. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said that whoever performs wudu and performs it well and then offers 2 rak'at with complete devotion, right, both outwardly and inwardly, paradise, Jannah, becomes obligatory for him. So the Thieves of Madinah, inshallah, we should increase our performance of Nawafil Salah. That was the third quality. And now the fourth quality among the 7 qualities of the beloved friend of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Ahsana ibadata rabbihi. He who worships his Rabb in the best way, in the best manner. This means that when a person engages in worship, then they should, you know, observe all the fara'id, wajibat, sunan, and mustahabbat acts. Offer their worship, their ibadah in the most beautiful way, with full of concentration. Pray with humility. Perform every act of worship with sincerity. And most importantly, the intention should be only and only to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not to show this person or that person that look at how I am performing ibadah, how I am performing salah, and just to show off to people in order for them to, you know, want them to come and kiss your hand, to respect you, and to show you that respect just because you're performing salah in front of people. But when you're alone, then it's a different game altogether. Then it's just up and down. You know, you're just doing exercise, you're not really concentrating. So this shouldn't be it. Whether you are in alone, in private, or you are in public, in both cases, it should be done to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not to show off. And whoever worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the best way, in this manner, wherein there's khushu and khudu, there's humility, there's concentration, right? That person is fortunate and counted amongst the beloved friends of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is, you know, a very, very beautiful quality. But in today's age, the state in which people perform, it's sad. You know, firstly, there is very little inclination towards worship. Even when people do engage in worship, they often fail to observe its due rites. There is a lack of, you know, calmness and devotion. As soon as one begins ibadah, then distractions, they start arising. People become restless and hurried. If nothing else, then the phone starts ringing, taking away their focus. Many do not even have the basic knowledge of the obligations, the necessities, and sunnahs related to ibadah. Reciting the Holy Quran, the pronunciation is incorrect, and even a basic level of tajweed is not even there. Many are unaware of rulings related to salah and sincerity, which is most important. Sincerity is often lacking. Instead showing off self-admiration, they end up taking hold of a person. And despite these challenges, doesn't mean that a person should not stop worshipping. Yes, we should continue performing acts of ibadah while also learning on how to improve them. We need to strive to worship in the best possible manner. And, you know, with continuous learning, with continuous effort, eventually we are going to improve, inshallah. You know, they say with practice comes perfect. So we must perform our worship with full devotion and attentiveness. We must learn its necessary rules and manners. Our goal should be to instill sincerity, humility, and seriousness in our hearts. This is how we need to perform a salah, dear viewers of Madani Channel. If you do not know, then it's never too late. For as long as you know you are breathing, it's never ever too late to learn how to perform a salah. You know, the pious servants of Allah, they gave so much of importance to worship. They performed it with full concentration. Like Imam Dawood Ta'i rahimahullah, he used to pray, he used to perform salah with such deep humility that even when the sun would rise and shine directly over his head, he would not feel its heat. And we also see Muslim bin Yasar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He was once performing salah with so much of focus, so he was so into his salah when a fire suddenly broke out near him. And he was absorbed in the salah that he did not even realize that there was a fire until people came and put it out. You see, when Sayyidina Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, when he would go into sajda, he would remain in that position for so long that birds would sit on his blessed back, mistaking it for a part of the wall. Allahu Akbar. Look at the amount of concentration that they had, the viewers of Madani Channel. So much of focus that nothing could take away the attention from surah, nothing could take away their focus. They were absorbed in performing their salah. And this is how you and I, we need to perform our salah as well. And this is also one of the qualities of being a beloved friend to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as of now, the viewers of Madani Channel, we do have a very beautiful kalam, a melodious kalam in the praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So let us go and listen to this beautiful kalam. And thereafter, we will be back to discuss much further into this beautiful topic, inshallah. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ya Rasulullah, ya habib Allah, ya Rasulullah. Wo jo chahe chand ko tod de, unhe ikhtiyar diya gaya, unhe ikhtiyar diya gaya. Wo jo chahe chand ko tod de, wo jo chahe chand ko tod de, unhe ikhtiyar diya gaya. उसके टुकड़ों को जोड़ दे, उन्हें इख्तियार दिया गया, उन्हें इख्तियार दिया गया. वो जो चाहे चांद को तोड़ दे, जो अली की असर कजा हुई, तो वो वक्त पर ही अदा हुई. जो अली असर कज़ा हुई, जो अली की असर कज़ा हुई, तो वो वक्त पर ही अदा हुई, तो वो वक्त पर ही अदा हुई. छुपे आफताब को मोड़ दे, छुपे आफताब को मोड़ दे, उन्हें इख्तियार दिया गया, उन्हें इख्तियार दिया गया. वो जो चाहे चांद को तोड़ दे, उन्हें इख्तियार दिया गया. वो फिर उसके टुकड़ों को जोड़ दे, उन्हें इख्तियार दिया गया. चाहे चांद को तोड़ दे, رخ نار ان کے غلام کو لیے جا رہے وہ ملائکہ رخ نار ان کے غلام کو لیے جا رہے وہ ملائکہ لیے جا رہے وہ ملائکہ وہ پکڑ کے خلد کو موڑ دیں وہ پکڑ کے خلد کو موڑ دیں انہیں اختیار دیا گیا انہیں اختیار دیا گیا وہ جو چاہے چاند کو توڑ دیں انہیں اختیار دیا گیا وہ پھر اس کے ٹکڑوں کو جوڑ دیں انہیں اختیار دیا گیا وہ جو چاہے چاند کو توڑ دیں وہ نبی کی مٹھی کا معجزہ کہ وما رمیت کہے خدا
وہ نبی کی مٹھی کا معجزہ وہ نبی کی مٹھی کا معجزہ کہ وما رمیت کہے خدا کہ وما رمیت کہے خدا وہ نگاہ کفر کی پھوڑ دیں وہ نگاہ کفر کی پھوڑ دیں انہیں اختیار دیا گیا انہیں اختیار دیا گیا وہ جو چاہے چاند کو توڑ دیں اختیار دیا گیا وہ پھر اس کے ٹکڑوں کو جوڑ دیں انہیں اختیار دیا گیا وہ جو چاہے چاند کو توڑ دیں لکھو نازش ان کا یہ معجزہ کہ کسی کی آنکھ نکل گئی لکھو نازش ان کا یہ معجزہ کہ کسی کی آنکھ نکل گئی کہ کسی کی آنکھ نکل گئی لکھو نازش ان کا یہ معجزہ کہ کسی کی آنکھ نکل گئی کہ کسی کی آنکھ نکل گئی وہ لعاب پاک سے جوڑ دیں وہ لعاب پاک سے جوڑ دیں انہیں اختیار دیا گیا انہیں اختیار دیا گیا وہ جو چاہے چاند کو توڑ دیں انہیں اختیار دیا گیا وہ پھر اس کے ٹکڑوں کو جوڑ دیں انہیں اختیار دیا گیا وہ جو چاہے چاند کو توڑ دیں
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم سبحان اللہ سبحان اللہ truly beautiful kalam in the praises of Rasulullah صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم may Allah سبحانہ وتعالی grant us all the complete love for his beloved Habib صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم and allow us all to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم آمین یا رب العالمین Alhamdulillah, coming back to our topic of discussion in which we are discussing being a beloved to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And thus far we have mentioned the beautiful hadith and the seven qualities that if a person has them, then they are the beloved friend to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, and what beautiful qualities are these, the views of Madani Channel. We all want to be the closest to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We all want to be beloved to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I mean, who wouldn't want to be the beloved to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Of course, each and every one of us has this desire to be the beloved of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But for that, we need to have these seven qualities. And thus far, we have mentioned four out of those seven qualities. And now moving forward, we come to the fifth quality. And that is, وَأَطَاعَهُ فِي السِّرِّ. He who obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even in private. And in views of Madani Channel, if we reflect upon ourselves, we realize that we fear people a lot. For example, a person hesitates to use vulgar language, to use foul language in front of their parents or teachers, but unfortunately, they do not fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as they should. If a strict and a person who has authority is present, people become silent out of fear and speak humbly. But how often do we remain mindful that Allah Ta'ala is always watching? And this is why it's difficult to avoid sins when we are alone. You know, I mean, if only we could develop true fear of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala and a sense of modesty before Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. A companion once came to the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and said, O Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, please advise me. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he replied that have modesty before Allah just as you feel modest before a righteous person from your own community. Subhanallah, this is such a profound and powerful piece of advice. I mean, imagine, would we speak indecently in their presence? No, we would not. Would we watch sinful content on our phones? No, we would not. Imagine if we had the chance to spend just one day in the company of a true pious person. We would avoid so many of our, you know, usual daily actions just because of their presence. This is the effect of having one righteous person watching us. Now think, Allah Ta'ala is watching you and I, watching us all the time. He is closer to us than our jugular vein. If we feel shyness before human beings, if we refrain from wrongdoing simply because a camera is watching us, then how much more should we fear and feel shyness before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our creator, our master, our sustainer? What a shame it is that a person may indulge in sin thinking that no one is watching, while Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is always watching. And they do not even care. So we must make a firm intention to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not just in front of people, but also in private. You know, today we fear people, we want to please people, but the reality is you cannot, and it's impossible to please people. You can't please people, right? Because there's always someone out there who's going to say something bad about you, no matter what you may do, but there's always someone to say something bad about you. So you can't be a people pleaser, right? You can't go around pleasing this person, that person, and everyone, and thinking that, okay, you did a good job. No. When you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then everyone will become pleased with you. This must be our focus, not to go around fearing people, not to go around pleasing people, but our goal should be that, you know what, I need to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not the camera, not any person. I need to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I need to please not this person or that person. I need to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you would see how everyone ends up respecting you, ends up loving you, because you are becoming closer and beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what we need to adopt, devotees of Madani Channel. So even in private, always remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching you and I. And now the sixth quality mentioned in the hadith, and that was, وَكَانَ غَامِضًا فِي النَّاسِ لَا يُشَارُ إِلَيْهِ بِالْأَصَابِعِ, that he who remains hidden among people, whom others do not point at with fingers due to fame. Now under a similar hadith, Mufti Ahmad Yarkhan Naimi rahimahullah, he explains that the person is not renowned in worldly matters. Similarly, they do not have fame owing to their religious devotion, knowledge or worship. Fame is dangerous for the public because it often leads to what? It leads to pride and to arrogance. He says remaining unknown is better than such fame. However, you know, some individuals, they do become famous, but they remain humble. They understand this concept that honor and disgrace are in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. People's opinions, they are irrelevant, because people's opinions, they change quickly. One moment they're supporters, one day they're supporters, the next day they're opposers. These are people, devotees of Madani Channel. You know, one day, Sayyidina Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was tending to his animals when his son, Sayyidina Umar bin Sa'd, approached him and said, "Oh my father, you are here looking after camels and goats while people are talking about the Khilafat." And Sayyidina Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu placed his hand on his son's chest and said that, "Be silent." Then he mentioned a hadith which he heard directly from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that is, "Inna Allah yuhibbu al-'abda at-taqiyya al-ghaniyya al-khafiyya," that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves a servant who is pious, self-sufficient and hidden. So subhanallah, this shows that remaining unknown, it is also a blessing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who are not famous. Our state today is completely the opposite. People are running after cheap fame everywhere, whether young or old. Everyone wants to be recognized. Many obsessively, they take selfies and post them on social media to gain what? To gain attention. Some even create useless, sinful videos just to become famous. When buying clothes, they think it should be so stylish that people would be amazed when they see me. Buying perfume, they think it should be so strong that the entire place should smell like me after I pass by. And they're choosing shoes and they spend hours thinking that they should be so eye-catching that people can't take their eyes off it. People can't stop looking at it. And at weddings, it's all about showing off. On Eid, it's all about displaying wealth and status. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Two hungry wolves attacking a flock of sheep do not cause as much destruction as love of wealth and fame does to a person's iman." Remain unknown, remain hidden. That was the sixth quality. And lastly, the seventh quality is that he whose sustenance is just enough and he who remains patient with it. This means that a true friend of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is content with what Allah ta'ala grants them and remains pleased with his decree. Like Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that whoever is content with the little sustenance Allah provides, Allah ta'ala shall be pleased with their small number of deeds. And here Mufti Ahmad Yarkhan Naimi rahimahullah, he explains and he says that if you are grateful even for a small amount of sustenance, then Allah Ta'ala will be pleased with your small amount of deeds. Subhanallah, subhanallah. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam also said that on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant wings to a group from my ummah. With these wings, they will fly from their graves directly into paradise and enjoy its pleasures as they wish. Now, seeing this, the angels will ask, have you gone through accountability? Have you crossed the bridge of Sirat? Have you seen hell? And these blessed souls, they will reply that, no, we have not seen any of these. And the angels will further ask that, then which ummah are you from? And they will say that we are from the ummah of Muhammadun Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the angels will say that we take an oath by Allah, tell us what deeds you performed. And they will respond, they will say that we had two habits due to which we achieved this rank through the mercy of Allah ta'ala. We used to fear Allah and avoid sins even when we were alone, and we were content with whatever sustenance Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Remember, whoever is content with a small amount of sustenance provided by Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself will be pleased with their few deeds. Well, viewers of Madani Channel, we have reached the end of today's episode, and I'm sure that we have learned a lot, inshallah. But make sure that we implement these 7 qualities and also teach it to others as well. Until then, keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Companions, believers, the stories we hear, the timeless message forever clear. The timeless message forever clear. The timeless message. The timeless message.